Hi, I'm Brian from Olathe, Kansas, and you're listening to WGXC Akron 90.7 FM.
Test, test.
Testing, testing.
Bump me up.
Bump, 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 bump it up. Bump, bump, bump it up.
That's good. Bump. Hey, it's me, Holly Tanner.
And it's me, Justin Weaver.
We are your co-hosts of Something to Talk About, which you can only hear on
WGXE 90.7 FM.
Your place for live local radio. Be sure to tune in second and fourth Wednesday of every month at
2 p.m. till 3 p.m.
We'll talk to you then.
Don't miss us.
What's going on, Justin? Anything?
I don't know. You know, I just got a phone call the other day, and I can't stand these telemarketers. It's like off the wall crazy. I don't know, Holly. Let's talk about it.
People are talking, talking about people. I hear the whisper. You won't believe it.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, July the 31st, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Jury selection to begin today in the trial of former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. Also on the Tuesday rundown, against all odds, in the Sunshine State, Obamacare is working. Plus, time may be running out for Northwest orcas. Topping our news, jury selection begins today in the federal court trial of Paul Manafort, a former chairman of the Donald Trump presidential campaign. AOL reports it's the first case brought by special counsel Robert Mueller to go before a jury. The charges do not involve Manafort's time with Trump. Instead, they stem from Manafort's work for a Russian-backed government of Ukraine and an ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin. AOL notes if Manafort is convicted, prosecutors would have powerful leverage for attempting to compel his testimony before a grand jury about whether he knows of any improper dealings between the Trump campaign and the Russians. The Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, has managed to weather the storm despite ongoing attempts by President Donald Trump to dismantle his predecessor's landmark achievement. Tramell Gomes explains.
The latest attempt to chip away at the law includes an announcement by the Trump administration that it would temporarily halt what's known as risk adjustment payments, which some say could lead to rising premiums. But even as Republicans continue to poke holes in the law, analysts say the individual marketplace has reached a fragile balance. Karen Egozi with the Epilepsy Foundation of Florida says one of the key parts of the healthcare law was not leaving millions of people with pre-existing conditions to fend for themselves.
You know, it was never a perfect system, but there is a lot that's working. And I hope that we're able to keep those things that are working and build on it rather than break them down.
Republicans and the Trump administration claim the law is imploding, but last year's enrollment only dipped by 3.8%, and even the repeal of the individual mandate has not led to the catastrophic death spirals that critics predicted would happen.
The San Francisco Chronicle reports firefighters made small but promising headway Monday on the two main fires in Northern California. Nobody was prepared to say the danger was over as the flames in Redding and near Clear Lake were being beaten away from homes and into wilderness areas. The Chronicle reports the worst of the threat remained in the resort towns on the western edge of Clear Lake. The fire surged to within a mile of the city of Lakeport before being shoved back another mile by an army of fire crews armed with water-dropping helicopters. With multiple wildfires raging out west, some are asking, can the Forest Service cut down on the ballooning costs of suppression? Cassandra Mosley, a research professor at the University of Oregon, says it's largely out of the agency's control. Climate change has created more burn days. Development has pushed into fire-prone areas where firefighting is especially costly. And the Forest Service has had to create a workforce dedicated solely to battling blazes. Mosley adds that focusing on fire suppression keeps the agency from reducing the fuels that drive the fires.
The landscape has more trees and more shrubs in it, and that makes fires burn more severely when they do burn. Those kinds of dynamics are really coming together to make fire more dangerous when it happens, particularly to people, and so that drives up costs.
Firefighting costs exceeded a record $2 billion in 2017, including more than $450 million in Oregon. Right-to-work laws do not bring jobs and, in fact, reduce wages, Mary Sherman reports. That's according to new research.
The laws say that even workers covered by union contracts don't have to pay anything toward the cost of getting and keeping the contract. Supporters argue that states with the laws see job growth because employers are drawn by their business climate. Former U.S. Labor Department chief economist Heidi Shierholz is now with the Economic Policy Institute. She says they found the laws don't increase employment, but do depress pay at the existing jobs.
What we find is that right to work will not create jobs, but it will hurt wages of middle class workers.
Next week, the Kentucky Supreme Court will hear a challenge to the state's right to work law, which was passed in 2017. Labor unions claim the law is discriminatory and forces them to represent workers who choose not to pay union fees.
And finally, Eric Tiganoff tells us the death of a calf among the Northwest's iconic southern resident orcas is highlighting a grave situation that the whales are in.
The newborn calf, part of a pod that migrates through Puget Sound known as J-Pod, died last week. Its mother has been seen carrying the calf since then. Rob Crable, Northwest representative with Defenders of Wildlife, says the endangered southern residents have struggled to reproduce, with numbers down to 75, the lowest in three decades, and this latest death is a major blow.
It could have been something really exciting, and it could have been a cause for celebration, but instead, it's a cause for sorrow, and it's a reminder of just how imperiled these whales are.
Crable is part of a working group informing the Southern Resident Orca Task Force convened by Governor Jay Inslee in March. This tragedy now is the backdrop for the group's conversations on saving the whales. Crable says it's important to get the whales more salmon and reduce pollution and noise from ships. Dr. Deborah Giles, a killer whale biologist at the University of Washington, has been following J-Pod in the wake of the death and says it's taken an emotional toll on her to watch the mother grieving over the past week.
Advocates say the changes need to be made to how rivers are managed, possibly including the removal of dams so that salmon can thrive again in the Northwest. They add that something big has to be done in the next 5 years to save these orcas. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service predicts that Tuesday should be mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Then the showers and thunderstorms roll in after 7 p.m. on Tuesday with a low around 67 and a 40% chance of rain. Wednesday, the chance of rain rises to 80%. Could be heavy at times with a high near 78 and a low around 68 Wednesday night. Thursday, there's just a 30% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 81 and a low around 67. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
Well, Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby.
Do you have a secret stash of records, CDs, tapes, radios, or audio equipment ready for a new home? Support WGXC by donating your goods to the WGXC table at the 2018 WGXC Record Fair, coming up at Basilica Hudson September 16th. Donations of any size are welcome. Unburden yourself. It's tax deductible. To arrange a pickup or drop-off, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call our Hudson studio at 518-697-7400. That's recordfair@wgxc.org. For more information about the fair and becoming a vendor, visit our website at wgxc.org/recordfair.
I don't like your peaches. They are full of stones. I like bananas because they have no bones. Don't give me tomatoes. Can't stand ice cream cones. I like bananas because they have no bones.
Next, we have these reports.
I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Green County Industrial Development Agency has chosen to back the town and village of Coxsackie in their opposition to a proposed 50-megawatt solar farm by denying the requested incentives from project developer Hecate Energy, LLC. IDA Executive Director Renee Van Schack said IDA representatives recently told officials and residents that if both the town and village do not want the project built, they will not have the IDA's support. The decision was made at the IDA monthly meeting July 19th. Van Schack said, and I quote, "The IDA kept its word, and the board voted to inform Hecate we would not entertain IDA assistance because it's opposed. The IDA on all these large solar projects has taken a neutral stance," end quote. Van Schack said the agency would support a rescaled and relocated project, assuming that Hecate is in agreement. Van Schack said, and I quote, "If they're able to come back to the table with a project that is acceptable to the town, we would consider it. We are supportive of solar energy. It can have benefits if it's in the right space," end quote. No one from Hecate attended the IDA meeting. The company's proposal calls for the construction of solar panels on 395 acres of the 933 it owns in the vicinity of Farm to Market Road. Both the village and the town passed resolutions in early July opposing the project. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Columbia County lost two influential political figures in the past week. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Funeral services were held July 27th for former Columbia County Republican Committee Chairman Todd Grincy. Grincy of Stockport died July 23rd following a brief illness. He was 62. Grincy served as Stuyvesant Town Supervisor for 12 years and as Chairman of the County Republican Party. He owned Mark's Pizza in Valencia and was also employed by the Capital Region Off-Track Betting in Schenectady, where he was Vice President of Corporate Operations. Grincy was a lifelong member of the Stuyvesant Falls Fire Department. He was eulogized by County Clerk Holly Tanner and Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Murrell. On July 25th, the former chair of the Columbia County Democrats, Cynthia J. Hall, passed away at her home under hospice care. Hall was 72. Born in Lowell, Massachusetts, and raised in Glen Falls, Hall taught music in the Hudson City School District for 37 years, where she also served as vice president of the Hudson Teachers Association and as chair of the Professional Standards Committee. In addition to her role as chair of the County Democrats, Hall was a representative of the New York State Democratic Committee and worked on the campaigns of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Dede Barrett. A memorial for Hall will be held at Bates and Anderson Redman and Keeler Funeral Home on August 4th. Shoot.
come, old flat top, he come, grooving up slowly, he got juju eyeball, he want holy roller, he got hair down to his knee. Got to be a joker, he just do what he please. Shoot me. Shoot me. Shoot me. Shoot me. He wear no shoe shine, he got toe jam football, he got monkey finger, he shoot Coca-Cola, he say, I know you.
Lucy Lyon, the king of beasts.
Music from elsewhere and beyond.
Huge elephant trumpet across the plains.
Imaginary soundtracks to unmade foreign films.
And there are rhino, those craggy creatures surviving from a bygone age.
Snack Point Charlie, hosted by Jeff Economy, every first Wednesday from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
On WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pig.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
In our next segment, we talk to two members of PAWS about the recent hearing in Albany County to expand restrictions on the use of styrofoam at restaurants.
Earlier this week, there was a hearing at the Albany County Legislature about expanding restrictions on polystyrene, styrofoam, here in Albany County. What is the existing rules on polystyrene, and what's the expansion trying to do?
Okay, so this is Sandy talking, and back in 2012, the county passed legislation covering chain stores, food service eateries, and banning them from serving their food or drink on polystyrene, otherwise known to most people as styrofoam. And since then, we've been trying to get a passage of a bill that covers all eateries, all restaurants, for their food and drink here in Albany.
So what are some of the problems that you see with styrofoam?
Problems with styrofoam is that it's a toxic, and when there's oily or hot foods that go into the styrofoam, the toxins leak into the food, and then we're essentially eating toxins as we're eating our leftovers that were so conveniently given to us in our styrofoam containers. It also doesn't it can't be recycled because it's 95% air, and it just is not cost effective, and nobody does it because it doesn't make any money to do that. And it stays around forever. It breaks down into teeny tiny little particles that get into our entire food chain and our oceans, and it's really, really bad for the environment. And it's not a product that needs to be. There are plenty of other alternatives that are environmentally friendly and not as toxic, and there's no reason why we should still be using styrofoam.
Now, I know that this bill had come up earlier this year and almost passed, but was narrowly defeated. What were some of the concerns or objections to why it was defeated previously?
Most of the objections I've heard are due to small moms and pops restaurants not being able to afford the extra expenditure. But we have plenty of restaurants that are small that feel that it is actually a promotional advantage to being green. People are very conscious about being green these days. There are plenty of small restaurants, small mom and pops who do this voluntarily and do not feel that it is a vulnerability to their bottom line.
Have we seen any evidence that the industry has weighed in on this issue?
Yes, the DART Plastics comes to, which is a large plastics company out in Michigan, sends their lobbyists to every Albany County public hearing and legislative meeting anytime this comes up. So we're fighting them. The thing that is promising this time around is that recently Albany County defeated a recycling initiative, so that Albany County recognizes that there is no economically way, just as Diana said, no economically way to recycle the styrofoam. And so there's nowhere to go at this point. And so we're feeling optimistic about its passage.
Now, can you maybe talk a little bit about the dynamics of the county legislature? Is this a Democrat versus a Republican? Is this urban versus suburban? You know, is there any particular trends that we see among who supports and who opposes it?
It's typically that more liberal legislatures support it and more conservative people don't support it. There's a rumor or a wives' tale that it will cost the restaurants money and it won't, and the Republican side tends to be more conservative and they want to represent their constituents in that way. But there also, somebody at the last meeting, also one of the plastics guys, said something about some jobs that might be lost in upper, I don't know if it was the Adirondacks or Saratoga, that there might be a styrofoam company manufacturer or something up north somewhere. And I personally have no sympathy for the loss of styrofoam jobs, because, or any jobs that are in the fossil fuel industry, because there are so many more jobs that can be made in all of the new opportunities in green energy. And like I said at the meeting when I spoke, the federal government just legalized hemp. And hemp is an incredible, environmentally safe, friendly, and very versatile material that can be used to replace styrofoam. And so there's tons of jobs and tons of research, and there's just tons of opportunity.
Yeah, I was just reading today, I believe somebody was saying that the actual initial American Constitution was written on hemp. So, you know, given that this bill was defeated just, I don't know, less than 6 months ago, so why is there any optimism that this time will be different?
Well, like I said, New York City has found that recycling is not economically feasible. There are many other big cities and some towns here in New York that have also determined that it's not economically feasible to recycle the styrofoam. So there's really no place to go with this other than we can't throw it out. We can't have it end up in our landfills. And this is really the only way to go. It just takes some of the legislators more time than others to realize that what the right thing to do is.
What are some of the other groups besides PAWS that are working on this issue at this point?
I know that the League of Women Voters spoke, Sierra Club, NYPIRG. Who are some of the other groups that were there?
I heard that Judith Eng showed up.
She did show up.
Former EPA regional administrator.
And she did a very, very lovely visual of styrofoam and how it's not a good thing to have in our landfills.
I should disclose that I am married to Judith, but I remember early in our relationship we used to spend time together picketing out in front of McDonald's on Washington Avenue back in the early 80s on styrofoam. So good to see she's kept up with this issue. So if people are listening and they wanted to get involved, or who are some of the legislators they might want to talk to, and how can people get more informed about this issue if they want more information?
Well, you can write to me personally, Sandy, and I'm at sstub@gmail.com. You can also look at our website, PAWSE website, which is PAUSENERGY.org. We can send you a list of legislators and how to find out who your county legislator is, because many people do not know their county legislator. So if you don't know, please go to the Albany County Board of Elections and click on the vote insignia, and then enter the information into the memo and find out your legislator, write him her or her, call him or her, and let's get this thing done.
We only have about 2 minutes left. I do know that, I believe on September 8th at the Jazz Festival in Albany down at Cornyn Park Preserve, you guys are trying to do a zero-waste event. What's that all about, and how can people volunteer on that one?
We are working with the City of Albany to start working on events to get the landfill to not have as much trash given to it. I'm not saying that right. But we're going to be working. We've got three different stations, and we need zero waste ambassadors. There'll be T-shirts, and what we need people to do is come and sign up for a shift and just help educate people on what is compostable, what is recyclable, and what is going to the landfill, so that people can learn how to do that in their homes, and we can reduce our trash, because we just produce way too much trash in this country and in this world, and we've got to stop doing that. So this is to help people be mindful of where their trash is going and how much of it is going into the landfill and how much we can stop from going into the landfill.
And what do you hope to see the end result of the zero waste effort?
We're hoping that we'll be able to get Albany to do zero waste events throughout the whole year, and we also want to be able to have Albany initiate a more aggressive composting program in the City of Albany so that we can get the organics out of the waste stream. And we also need to relook at the single stream recycling, because that's not working. It's contaminating our waste, and China's not taking it anymore, and it's going to cost us more money to get rid of our garbage, so we just need to stop making it.
So we've been talking with Sandy Steuben and Diana Wright, co-facilitators of the PAWS, People of Albany United for Safe Energy. In the last 20 seconds, people want more information about PAWS Get Active. How do they do that?
Well, I'm going to repeat our website. It's pawsenergy.org, PAUSENERGY.org. Please come. We meet every Thursday evening at the fourth Thursday of every month at Citizen Action 94 Central. Start time 5:30. We'd love to see you.
And this has been Mark Dunley for WOOC.
That was Sandy Steubing and Diana Wright talking about the efforts to curtail styrofoam in Albany County.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar. If you have a press release for All Together Now, send it to news@WGXC.org. And our crack community reporters will see if we can mention your news on the local airwaves on the collaborative 6 p.m. local radio news show, All Together Now. All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview the public at a local event or write stories for the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org, send an email to info@WGXC.org. All Together Now. All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted...
1, 2, 3, ah!
One, two, three, four. Can I have little more? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I love you. A, B, C, D. Can I bring my friend T? E, F, G, H, I, J. I love you. Sail the ship. Jump the tree. Skip the rope. Look at me. All together now. All together now. Take my friend to bed. Pink, brown, yellow, orange, and blue. I love you.
This is Jerry Only of the Misfits. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Hudson.
WGXC believes in hands-on, two-way radio. We provide public access to the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio, participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and much, much more. The G and C stand for Green and Columbia Counties in New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential local listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising, while wholesome, are very often experimental, and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Next, we have these reports.
Cynthia Nixon and Andrew Cuomo are running for governor in the Democratic primary in early September. Both are making daily campaign appearances now. Here is a little bit of Cynthia Nixon on July 30th talking about criminal justice reform. That's followed by Andrew Cuomo, the incumbent, speaking on the same day, July 30th, about health care reform.
We need to fund schools, not jails here. And that means we need to put the money in. We need to put the money in where it is most needed. And we also need, at the same time, to enact real criminal justice reform. This year. He actually broke a bunch, but I'm going to talk about one. He broke a promise to the family of Kalief Browder. Kalief Browder was a black teenager who was accused of stealing a backpack. And because he couldn't afford $3,000 bail, he was incarcerated in Rikers Island awaiting trial, where he sat for 3 years. He was frequently beaten. He was in solitary for more than 800 days. And he was finally released, but he had been so traumatized by his experience, he did not survive the ordeal. He took his own life. This year, Andrew Cuomo touted that he was going to pass Kalief's law and ensure a right to speedy trial here in New York State. But he did not.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, it is a pleasure to be at Mount Sinai, and let's give this great institution a round of applause. Now, you haven't seen anything until you've seen George Gresham and Ken Raske on a rooftop in Puerto Rico being taught by a young woman how to use a grinder and almost cutting off parts of their body with that grinder. But they were there working, and they did a great job. And it says something about who they are. They were there to make a difference, and they were there to use their blood and sweat and time to protect New Yorkers. So let's give them a round of applause for their good work. We have our great... That's all right. Everybody has a point of view, especially today. let me start where George left off. These are challenging times. These are political times. These are ugly times. And turning on the TV is hard. And watching these talking heads go back and forth. There is, however, one show that you can watch. It is on CNN at 9 o'clock, and it is Chris Cuomo, primetime. I say that even though he will not invite me on the show, I believe it is discrimination of family members. I've threatened to sue CNN. CNN says it's not them, it's Chris. I think he's afraid to let me on because he doesn't want to... He can't deal with me. He can't handle me, and he knows it. I intimidate him.
Here's today's congressional campaign update with news about Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, his Democratic opponent Antonio Delgado, the rest of the campaign for the New York's 19th congressional district.
David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. U.S. Representative John Faso has joined five of his upstate Republican congressional colleagues to urge Governor Andrew M. Cuomo to remove the state's tourism signs along New York's highways. In a letter dated July 26, the group reminded the governor the state is risking $14 million in federal funding if it fails to take down the signs in compliance with federal regulations. The state spent more than $8 million on the I Love New York campaign. The State Department of Transportation maintains the signs are safe and will work with the federal government to resolve the issue amicably. In February, the Federal Highway Administration notified the state of its intentions to withhold federal highway funding if the state does not take the signs down by September the 30th. DOT spokesman Joseph Morrissey said, and I quote, "We believe these signs provide valuable wayfinding information to motorists and tourists. Out of respect for the ongoing process, we are not in a position to comment on the content or timeline of those discussions. However, we fully expect to have a mutually beneficial agreement in place well before the September deadline," end quote. Read the full story at Capital Confidential.
Godspeed You Black Emperor from Canada comes to Hudson, New York, to Basilica Hudson on August 9th. Here's 2017 new music from Godspeed You Black Emperor with Anthem for No State Volume 1 from the 2017 album Luciferian Towers. Godspeed You Black Emperor. Thank you. Godspeed You Black Emperor returns to Hudson at Basilica on August 9th. Here's Godspeed You Black Emperor with Like Antennas to Heaven, music from the year 2000.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The 131st Annual Ulster County Fair will run for 6 days beginning Tuesday, July 31st. Fair manager Gary Newkirk said, and I quote, "We have a brand new 4-H show ring and a brand new swine pavilion," end quote. The fair is also introducing the butterfly experience, where visitors get closer to the insect world by entering the net area to feed and be with the butterflies. Headline acts during the fair will include Thunder Ridge, Billy Bob Thornton and the Boxmasters, Charlie Daniels Band, Keith Anderson, Cale Dodds, and former Journey leader Steve O'Gurry. Daily attractions will include The Mugician, a magic and music show powered by Milk, Robinson's Racing Pigs, 2x2 Petting Zoo, and chainsaw carver and artist Josh Landry. Competitive events include a garden tractor pull, a truck pull, an antique tractor pull, and a baby contest. Gates at the Libertyville Road Fairgrounds will open at 4 p.m. July 31st and 10 a.m. August 1st through August 5th. Fair information is available at ulstercountyfair.com. And read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Bill Williams reports for WCTW-FM. Road work on the Columbia side of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge is expected to begin July 30th. State Department of Transportation intends to turn the intersection of Route 23 and Route 9G into a pedestrian-friendly roundabout. Motorists can expect delays over the next few months as construction on the roundabout begins. Construction is expected to be completed by December, and more delays are expected as paving continues on Route 9 and 23 in Greenport this week. The work area can be avoided by using Routes 9G or 9H. And the Greene County Sheriff's Office is cautioning motorists about potential delays all week on Route 23B in Jefferson Heights, where crews are filming the movie Shirley. Read more at 985thecat.iheart.com. Paul Brooks in the Times Herald Record reports that there is a second advertisement on the local airwaves from a pro-John Faso political action committee that criticizes the lyrics on Antonio Delgado's 2006 hip-hop album. The ad from the Congressional Leadership Fund says, and I quote, "The liberal resistance has gone too far. Antonio Delgado is their candidate for Congress," end quote. The CLF says it did not coordinate the ad with the Faso campaign. Days after the Democrat Delgado won the June 26 primary to run against the Republican, Faso began the campaign by attacking the lyrics of the old rap album by A.D. The Voice. Then on July 13th, the Republican-backed Super PAC, the Congressional Leadership Fund, began paying for a radio advertisement airing locally in the Albany and Poughkeepsie media markets centered on Delgado's records and lyrics. As recently as July 26, Faso made a statement about Delgado's hip-hop lyrics. Now the CLF, the U.S. House Republican Political Action Committee, has a second radio ad on local stations about the 2006 recording. Delgado responded on July 27, saying, and I quote, "I again call on John Faso to disavow these divisive attacks. He should apologize on behalf of his supporters who created this hateful ad. John Faso's strategy is 100% predicated on his low opinion of his constituents." Dr. Gerald Benjamin, a SUNY New Platts professor, Faso's close friend, recently acknowledged the congressman's divisive use of race and respectfully apologized for his own commentary on the issue. Now it's Faso's turn, end quote. Read the full story in the Times Herald Record. Anna Sanders is reporting for the New York Post. The campaigns of various candidates for the state office have accepted campaign contributions from corporate donors in excess of the $5,000 cap mandated by New York election law, according to a Post investigation. Governor Andrew Cuomo's campaign has kept at least $27,000 from corporate donors. Public advocate Latia James accepted at least $5,000 in contributions for her state attorney general campaign. And GOP gubernatorial candidate Mark Molinaro took thousands from three corporate donors using the same address, a possible violation of campaign law, Sanders writes. Blair Horner, executive director of the New York Post Interest Research Group, said, and I quote, "This law has been routinely violated. I don't know of anyone punished for doing this," end quote. The Post reported earlier this month that Lieutenant Governor candidate Jemani Williams received $50,000 for his campaign from three different firms that gave above the limit. The campaign said it will return the money and Williams will not take any corporate money going forward. Read the full story in the New York Post. Diane Pinero Zucker is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Juan Carlos Alonso Vasquez, the Kingston chef who was picked up by Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers July 18th, was subsequently found to be in the country illegally, the federal agency said last week. Vasquez, 29, has lived in Kingston since leaving Mexico 10 years ago. Brandy Walters, restaurant manager at The Anchor in Kingston, said he has been head grill chef for the past 2 years. He is now being held at the Orange County Jail, according to an ICE online detainee locator. In an email statement, ICE wrote, and I quote, Juan Vasquez is an illegally present citizen and national of Mexico. He entered the United States at an unknown place and time in violation of immigration law and was arrested by ICE officers July 18th in Kingston, New York. He is currently in ICE custody pending removal proceedings, end quote. In a written statement, Ulster County Executive Mike Hine expressed dismay over the, and I quote, flawed immigration policy that is being abused at the federal level, end quote, and voiced support for Vasquez. Hine said he has reached out to the governor's office about the case. Deputy County Executive Ken Cronell says that Hine's statement stands and I quote, has nothing to do with the legal status of the individual, end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
The National Weather Service predicts that Tuesday should be mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Then the showers and thunderstorms roll in after 7 p.m. on Tuesday with a low around 67 and a 40% chance of rain. Wednesday, the chance of rain rises to 80%. Could be heavy at times with a high near 78 and a low around 68 Wednesday night. Thursday, there's just a 30% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 81 and a low around 67. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Tuesday, July 31st, at 11 a.m. on the Classic Country Show, guest host James White from the Music Maestro Hour weighs in with his take on classic American country music. That's live from the Carnegie Room of the Catskill Library from 11 until noon. Followed by Music for the Masses after the noon news headlines until 2 o'clock with Neva Wortel. Later on in the evening at 7 o'clock, a tribute to Kurt Lenner. Friends and listeners of the Coyote Ghost radio show are invited to call in to remember beloved community member, radio host, and father Kurt Lenner, who passed away on July 15th in Chatham, New York. The special tribute broadcast will be hosted by Kieran Riley, Abby Kors, and Laura Reed. And they will be taking calls on the studio line at 518-828-0290. That's live until 9:30 p.m., followed by Battlefield Earth with Dan Seward from 9:30 to midnight.
July turns into August at midnight, and in the early morning hours of Wednesday, August 1st, tune into the Radio Stew, an exploration of number stations, secret spy radio stations, with works from The Conant Project, The Tape Beatles, Keith and Mendy Obadiki, Melissa Dubin and Aaron Davidson, and others. After the news at midnight, 1 a.m., tune in for experimental music from Amsterdam with the Vital Weekly Show. Tabs out at 2, listens to cassettes from Arthur Dent and the Deeper Than Space, overnight until radio news at 5 a.m. on Waveform's Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Wednesday, August 1st, the Greenville Planning Board meets at 7 p.m. Public is encouraged to attend all local meetings and record them, too. If you have a phone in your pocket and you're going to a local meeting, take your phone out. Make a recording of your local meetings. It's easy to do, and you can share it with all your friends and neighbors by emailing info@wgxc.org, and we can help you out with how to record the meeting and how to make it public. We also have a free app in the App Store that lets you transmit, broadcast, webcast local meetings. We put them on the radio as much as we can and make them available online at wgxc.org. The Greenville Planning Board meeting is at 7 p.m. at the Greenville Pioneer Town Hall on State Route 32. Wednesday, August 1st. Also Wednesday, August 1st, Ghent has a planning board meeting at 7 p.m. at the Ghent Town Hall. There's a community Reiki share at the Chatham Bodywork Collective, 7 p.m. Wednesday, August 1st. Cairo has a planning board meeting at the Cairo Town Hall, 7 p.m. Thursday, August 2nd, that is. The Sweet 16 Cinema Club at High Low, I think this is program two. Local filmmakers Catherine Bauer and Heath Iverson with loops and music by Brendan Fay of Catskill. An animal film scored by C. Lavender, an animation from children's author Tommy Ungerer, a silent film by Millis and Moore. This is High Low in Catskill, Thursday, August 2nd, 8 p.m. for the films from the Sweet 16 Cinema Club. Friday, August 3rd, Brad Schurer, puppeteer, is at PS21 in Chatham at 1 p.m. Old Friends is...
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.